Mark Garrison, many thanks to you. John Hockenberry is away today, and Catherine Lanfer is here in the studio, and it's good to have you, Catherine.
Hey, thank you, Adora.
We're going to talk about President Obama's first act in office now, and it was to begin the process of closing the United States military prison at Guantanamo Bay. And that's where 245 detainees have been living in an essentially a legal limbo. But a larger and more troublesome problem is waiting for the new president in the 600 prisoners at the Bagram military base in Afghanistan, where prisoners captured in the war against terror live outside of U.S. borders. Eric Schmidt is following the story for our partners, The New York Times, and he joins us from Washington, D.C. this morning. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
600 prisoners, who are they, and what are they accused of?
Well, these are largely Afghans that have been picked up over the last 5 or 6 years on the battlefields in Afghanistan, and they are held without charges in this particular prison that's north of Kabul, the Afghan capital. What's also interesting, though, is that a smaller number of non-Afghans, about 30 or so, include fighters who are both captured in Afghanistan, but most interestingly also those who are suspected of being terrorists who were captured elsewhere and brought to Bagram and have been held basically in a legal limbo for several years.
Under what authority, Eric, are they being held?
Well, they're basically being held under the rule of law here, and that is the Bush administration's mandate on the global war of terror. They say they are going in, they're capturing prisoners, and until the war on terror is over, they can be held there essentially indefinitely. So this is one of the big issues that's going to be facing the Obama administration, in addition to the more publicized situation at Guantanamo Bay.
And that is incredibly controversial, this notion until the war on terror is over. Why are they being held at Bagram and they were never taken to Guantanamo Bay?
Well, some of them don't meet the standards that used to be set for taking prisoners to Guantanamo Bay. They're considered to be dangerous, but they're not so dangerous that the administration at the time believed they should be shipped to Guantanamo. But more importantly, in 2004, the Bush administration began to halt the flow of prisoners who were at Bagram to Guantanamo. And so the overall prison
population... Can I stop you there, Eric?
Sure.
Was that an acknowledgement that it was problematic?
It was, and it was also a recognition of some Supreme Court decisions that involved the rights of prisoners at Guantanamo. So the flow essentially stopped going into Guantanamo Bay, and the prison population in Bagram, which had been about 100 prisoners or so, ballooned up to nearly 500, and now it's been hovering around 600 for some time.
So now a federal judge has given the Obama administration until late February to explain their policy. What options do you think they have?
Well, it's difficult to say right now because, unlike Guantanamo, the situation in Afghanistan really has not been addressed in any comprehensive legal framework. So there are human rights groups, including those that are representing these four plaintiffs at Bagram, that are saying, look, treat this as you would under Geneva Conventions. You know, allow the prisoners at Bagram to have legal representation, ensure that they get the same kind of legal protections that are afforded to some extent at Guantanamo Bay and certainly to the prisoners the U.S. holds in Iraq.
And that brings us back to the point you made earlier, which is holding them under the Bush administration until the war on terror is over. Why is that controversial?
Well, it's an open-ended detention, of course, and that while there is, to some extent, a review process that these prisoners at Bagram are afforded, that is, their status is technically reviewed every 6 months, in many cases, the evidence isn't changing, at least the evidence that's held by their American captors. And so for many of these prisoners, they have no legal representation to challenge their even being there. And that's what's interesting about this case that the judge in Washington, D.C., is now looking at, saying, look, there are these prisoners who were brought there in this case. They don't look to me to be any different than those who are at Guantanamo Bay, and that those prisoners have certain rights. explain to me why I should treat these prisoners at Bagram differently than those at Guantanamo Bay.
Well, exactly. I mean, I'm wondering just what sort of public relations problem on top of everything else. If you're trying to curry favor with the part of the country that had long wanted Guantanamo Bay closed, what does it say that you've got the one in Afghanistan?
Well, it's a big problem, and for the Bush administration at least, it was one that really never got much publicity. Unlike Guantanamo Bay, this is the facility at Bagram was closed to journalists, very difficult for human rights groups and the International Committee for the Red Cross to get information about who was even at Bagram. And so unlike Guantanamo, which has been in the glare of the public spotlight for many years, Bagram is kind of a part of the untold story of the largely forgotten war in Afghanistan.
Eric, why is that? That totally went through my mind as I was reading your article. How did this escape the radar for so long?
Well, I think we've tried at the New York Times to publicize it in our stories over the last few years, but it's frankly the situation at Guantanamo Bay just captured most of the public attention. That's where the higher value Al-Qaeda prisoners went, particularly after the CIA closed its secret prisons. And the prisoners in Guantanamo, in Afghanistan, rather, scooped up off the battlefield in Afghanistan weren't really the focus, as maybe they had been in the very early years of the war. So it was a problem that was growing that just didn't get much attention. There wasn't much access to them. And now that the Obama administration is coming in pledging to change things, it's front and center on their agenda as well.
Last question. How would you describe, then, what the Obama administration has inherited in these Bagram detainees?
Well, it's obviously a very difficult problem. And if the judge, for instance, here rules that these prisoners do have the right of habeas corpus, that is, to challenge their detention, it could open up a huge legal problem for the incoming administration. Not only that, but this is at the same time, of course, that President Obama is deciding how to deal with the growing insurgency in Afghanistan, one that he has essentially pledged and the military is preparing to send upwards of 30,000 additional troops to. So it becomes a very complicated problem on the ground, and not wanting to complicate matters for commanders by having to potentially release prisoners into the hands of either the Afghan government or release them outright.
Yeah, I think a slogan might be no rest for the weary. Eric Schmidt, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
Eric Schmidt is a New York Times reporter. He was coming to us from Washington, and he was telling us about the plight of 600 Bagram detainees held in U.S. custody. And we thank him for joining us this morning. Lots of talk this week about nationalizing the banking system, having the government take ownership over U.S. banks in order to stabilize the economy. Is there anything that you think the government should take over?
I worry that we're moving towards socialism, that we need to get government out of our lives, not into our lives. I wouldn't want them to run my local ice cream shop. Are you kidding me?
I guess that's a big fat no from Congressman Jason Chavitz, a Republican congressman for the 3rd District of Utah. But what do you think? Do you think the government could do a better job than the private sector in anything? Give us a call at 877-8-MY-TAKE or MyTAKE at thetakeaway.org. And here's a thought. Here's your takeaway.
This game would have gone on except when the banks were taken out, particularly when Lehman was taken out. It all of a sudden exposed the fact that, as Warren Buffett says, when the water goes down, people discover who's swimming naked.
That's Jim Ellis, assistant managing editor at Business Week, talking about how job cuts started hitting hard long after the recession actually started. I'm Adoree Udoji. Catherine Lanfer is in for John Hockenberry. Thank you, Catherine.
You're more than welcome.
And this is The Takeaway.